Welcome back to the Daily Report, brought to you by the COVID-19 Literature Surveillance Team.
We are your hosts, Will Smith
and Jasmine Robb,
bringing you the highlights from our newest report. The report for January 4th, 2021.
Climate. A systematic review by an international team of researchers highlights the significant underrepresentation of geriatric patients in published COVID-19 randomized control trials. In the 12 RCTs included in the review, patients had a mean age of 56.3 years and were on average 20 years younger than patients from large observational trials. One explanation for this discrepancy is the strict exclusion criteria used for RCTs, which commonly exclude patients with cognitive impairment and multiple comorbidities frequently seen in the elderly population. The authors strongly advocate for our future RCTs to include this vulnerable population that has been disproportionately affected by the COVID-19 pandemic.
Epidemiology. Pediatric ischemic stroke is thought to be a possible infrequent complication of SARS-CoV-2. Physician members of the International Pediatric Stroke Study Group surveyed 61 international sites to assess the prevalence of SARS-CoV-2 infection in pediatric stroke patients. They found 3.6%, or 6 out of 166 pediatric arterial ischemic strokes, 0.9%, or 1 out of 108 neonatal arterial ischemic strokes, 1.9%, or 1 of 54 pediatric cerebral sinovenous thrombosis, and 0 of 33 neonatal cerebral sinovenous thrombosis patients were positive for SARS-CoV-2. Authors suggest these results indicate that SARS-CoV-2 does not appear to be an increased risk of stroke in neonatal and pediatric populations, but acknowledge that more robust testing is needed to determine any role the virus has in pediatric stroke.
Transmission and prevention. Dry heat incubation in ambient temperature fails to consistently inactivate SARS-CoV-2 on N95 respirators. Internists and microbiologists from the University of New Mexico assessed whether dry heat incubation could decontaminate N95 respirators and found that SARS-CoV-2 was not inactivated when N95 coupons inoculated with the virus were heated to 60 or 75 degrees Celsius for either 30 or 60 minutes when placed on parchment paper. This was followed by intact 3M1860 N95 respirators incubated at 70 to 75 degrees Celsius for 60 minutes. SARS-CoV-2 was still not inactivated, leading the authors to suggest that dry heat incubation is not a consistently effective method for deactivating SARS-CoV-2 on N95 respirators. SARS-CoV-2 appears to persist on PPE for up to several days post-exposure. Virologists from the United States Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases in Maryland compared the stability of SARS-CoV-2 on multiple models of PPE used during airway procedures following 4.3 log plaque-forming units, or PFUs, of SARS-CoV-2 exposure. They found that even 72 hours after exposure, between 1.1 and 2.3 log PFUs per mil of SARS-CoV-2 was still detectable, depending on the material. Authors suggest that the persistence of this virus on PPE highlights the importance of appropriate doffing, disposal, and disinfection in order to prevent fomite transmission. Decontamination of SARS-CoV-2 contaminated N95 filtering facepiece respirators can be achieved with moist heat generated by a multicooker. A multidisciplinary team of scientists from the Battelle Memorial Institute in Ohio inoculated patches from N95 respirators with SARS-CoV-2 suspended in simulated saliva or lung fluids. Then they subjected the samples to a temperature of 65 degrees for 30 minutes in a multicooker, filled partially with water. They found that SARS-CoV-2 was undetectable by 20 minutes, regardless of the respirator's model. All masks met performance criteria for collection efficiency and inhalation resistance after 10 cycles if placed in a paper bag to absorb the moisture during decontamination and allowed 30 minutes to dry. The authors conclude that moist heat treatment in a multicooker can successfully decontaminate N95 respirators, which could allow for reuse during times of limited supply.
R&D, diagnosis and treatments. Efficacy of lopinavir-ritonavir combination in the treatment of COVID-19 was not found to be considerable according to a systematic review. and international research team from Nested Knowledge Incorporated conducted a systematic review of 16 studies assessing the effectiveness and safety of the lopinavir-ritonavir combination, or LPV/R, in the treatment of COVID-19 and found the majority of included studies showed no significant improvement in clinical outcomes. They looked at RT-PCR negativity, chest CT findings, mortality, and adverse events following the LPV/R treatment, though they could not perform meta-analysis due to the high heterogeneity of the comparison groups. Their review suggests little survival or clinical benefit of the combination in COVID-19. However, the authors recommend larger clinical trials are needed to more definitively explore its potential benefits due to the limitations of the currently available data. What is the efficacy of the COVID-19 vaccines, and how good were the trials? Researchers at the Fred Hutch Institute in Seattle, Washington, collaborated with the University of North Carolina Department of Biostatistics to discuss limitations of current COVID-19 vaccination trials. The main critique of the current study designs is the primary endpoint of virologically confirmed symptomatic COVID-19 disease, which does not provide accurate data on mild or asymptomatic individuals. The authors propose an alternative model that includes three primary endpoints: 1. SARS-CoV-2 infection, 2. Symptomatic COVID-19 disease, and 3. Severe COVID-19 disease. They assert that this strategy would provide important data on the vaccine's ability to protect against severe disease and also prevent mild and asymptomatic disease. Simulation studies are included to demonstrate these advantages.
Mental health and resilience needs. The Waikato Institute of Technology in New Zealand conducted an anonymous online questionnaire of 51 Chinese nurses to assess their experiences at work during the COVID-19 pandemic. They found that 47.06% experienced racial hostility due to being Chinese, 41.18% were concerned about catching SARS-CoV-2, and 57.14% felt supported in the workplace by their colleagues. Authors suggest that because New Zealand has a large ethnic minority nursing base, health organizations must understand and support the healthcare workers experiencing racial discrimination during the COVID-19 pandemic to adequately meet the demands on the healthcare system.
That's all for today. Thanks for listening.
Continue to stay informed with us.
Read less, do more.
With COVID-19, LST.org.